Here I was, blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along.
Make chicken salad out of chicken shit. People is as people does, that's all there is to it. Put a square peg in a round hole, just never seems to fit.
This is Bianca Belair.
Here, this is Kevin Owens.
Hey, it's Seth freaking Rollins.
It is the man, Becky Lynch.
It's Rhea Ripley here, and you're listening to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Hello and welcome to your longest running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I am your captain, Lachlan Albert, and I'm joined by the leader of the Backseat Cool Group, Todd Eastman. Todd, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, mate. I'm a little tired, but I'm fine.
We are a little bit sleepy. We're recording this in the AM the long way round tonight. We'll be joined soon by my hairless Chewbacca for the evening, Jeff Setti. When he gets here, that's a Star Wars reference, mate. The reason that he was my co-pilot tonight is we've just made the drive back to Melbourne from lovely Ballarat, where we've been at day one of StarCast Australia, the first full day, I should say, of StarCast Australia, kicking off Thursday night. Today has been yesterday was a cracking day. Huge bunch of autograph signings going off at the Mining Exchange there, as well as a bunch of stage shows. We were able to see some really cool panels. But the thing we're here to talk about is Her, the show presented by Mickie James, a female wrestling show that took place in Ballarat. And I think it's fair to say it was a pretty good show. Mix of international women as well as Aussie women on the card. I, in general, had a good time. Todd?
Yeah, no, it was a very good show. It was quite well balanced. I mean, there was some stuff, of course, that we'll probably pick on as we go through the show. But overall, it was a very entertaining show. Like, I've been to worse, just like overall shows.
Yeah,
like very, very easily. Like, that was like a very decent show.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that obviously we wouldn't be doing our job if we didn't try and pick at things and try to make things better.
But that's kind of my thing.
Yeah, but overall, a strong show started by Mickie James herself, who came out and cut a bit of a promo and introduced Vic Crow, the former Alicia Fox. And the two of them had a match, which surprisingly to me, Vic Crow ended up winning. I thought Mickie James would for sure have this one in the bag, as I would argue that she's a bigger name and the crowd seemed to respond to her a little more than they did to Vic. Do you agree?
Yeah. Because, well, has Mickie been out before? I can't remember. She came out.
Yeah, years ago.
Yeah.
I think she said 7 years since she was last here.
But then also Mickie's been on TV a lot more recently than what Vic Crow has, or Alicia Fox. It's so weird. Absolutely. Calling her Vic Crow.
It is. Yeah, Mickie James has been in WWE fairly recently,
right,
as well as on TNA and, you know, doing things around this Her promotion and all of that sort of stuff. And people recognize Hardcore Country from when she was in the Rumble. So definitely a more recently seen face.
Mm. It was a good, like, I actually really enjoyed the start, that big, strong lockup that they did where they were doing. It was like a chain wrestling lockup, if you know what I mean, because they didn't break the lockup. They rolled and then they went to a certain side and then they went to another side. I really enjoyed that. Like, Mickie is a great underdog babyface, and that's what really helped, I guess. It's so hard calling a Vic. It really helped Vic sort of in her role, because it was hard. Because they weren't really a traditional babyface heel sort of thing, because they did a very babyface sort of promo at the start.
Absolutely.
So, and it sort of went that way near the end, like with Vic being more of a
and
heel.
It started with like a handshake as well, you know. Yeah. They were talking about how they were best friends. So it definitely had the dynamic of Vic acting as the heel without that being kind of what the match was built around. It was more a face versus face style match.
Mm. And Mickie took she took a big bump to the outside off that top rope. I was like, oh, geez, I wouldn't expect her to be doing that.
No, especially for a show going on in Australia, right?
Yeah.
Like, if she's taking those bumps still, you'd expect those to be on big American shows, not down here in Ballarat.
Well, I mean, this was also, it was like streamed live on Triller, so.
Yeah, and I mean, a good show for anyone who can see it. So I'm not sure if it's still available on Triller. If it is, it's worth catching. Our wonderful Jeff Setti. Jeff, what did you think of that opener?
I thought it was great. You know, two workers are really good. Vix Crowe actually surprised me with how tight she was and how she was able to do it. Very tall, very thin was you know, my reaction as I watched it. And it was nice. It cracked along at a good pace. And I too was very surprised by the by Vix getting her hand raised at the end.
Absolutely.
There was some definite rust on Vix, but that's to be expected when she hasn't wrestled in God knows how many years.
Oh, yeah.
There were just some certain ways. I think they went for a shoulder block and she bumped really weirdly to it. And there was a lot of spots where I think they'd done some stuff and then they broke it. And it was like just certain parts of it were disjointed. And I think that just had to do with the fact that she hadn't worked for a while.
Absolutely. But I think it had the right energy for the opener here. I guess it was a little bit unfortunate to me that this didn't get as much of a reception early on as some of the later matches got.
Mm-hmm.
It did get a fan reaction towards the end, but I'm glad that the fan reaction picked up in the next match, which was Lisa Marie Verone's Invitational, a six-pack challenge for the OPW Women's Number One Contendership. This match had Tali, Katie Lux, Elaine Hope, Charlie Evans, Aisha, and Lena Cross, and ended with Tali as the new number one contender to Erica Reed's OPW Women's Championship. There was some really impressive stuff in this match.
Yeah, I would concur with that. Elaine Hope has improved out of all measure from when I last saw her. So that was really, really good. Shout out to Elaine for that. Rate of improvement in a relatively short space of time. I know she's taking bookings as far and as wide as she can. She's smart when you're starting out. Take those bookings, get yourself seen, and get your ring work better. This was just a little bit of fun. This was just a wild ride and a bit of fun. Really, really impressed by Aisha. Aisha has a crispness to her moves that she didn't have a year ago, and I think that's really good. And you know, you've got great workers in that match, so you know it's always going to be a good time.
Yeah, there was a couple of really I really enjoyed the Tower of Doom spot because it wasn't like your normal Tower of Doom where the girl goes up for the power bomb and it's a suplex off, but instead it was like a bag of shit because that's what it was like
an electric
fallaway slam.
Fall away slam.
She did the fallaway slam off a power bomb into other two girls that were walking towards her. So it was something that I don't remember seeing that sort of spot before. I was like, wow, that's really good. It flowed really well, except like at the start there was like, I think we talked about it in the drive on the way home, at the very start there was just like a really small bump, but the girls that bumped sort of just stood on a knee and watched two girls in the ring wrestle for a little bit. I'm like, oh, I hope this isn't the way the match is going to go, but they sort of worked through that, which was good. I really don't normally like these things because it's all spot, and you know me, I'm not really a big fan of that, but this was, it was enjoyable. It was one of my favorite matches of the night. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I was really impressed by this. And for this type of card, that match works really well as well. This is a great opportunity to get a lot of Australian women seen by an audience who's not necessarily going out of their way to watch a lot of Aussie wrestling, because when you have an event like StarCast, you tend to bring in the people who want to see Bret Hart or want to see Jordan Grace or want to see Mickie James. So getting them exposed to a lot of Aussie women doing a lot of cool things in one big match was really cool. I think we all agreed kind of the standout here were Aisha, Lena Cross, and Charlie Evans, who, I mean, it's not a shock that those three are really great workers. You know, the fact that Lena Cross was able to do a fall-away slam while being powerbombed, like, that's a skill that not a lot of workers would have. Yeah. But Lena's just an absolute powerhouse.
And we always forget how relatively new Lena is to the business. She's got a lot of years in front of her. and she's just going to be a world beater.
Absolutely.
Someone in the audience compared her to Rhea Ripley, and I think that that's an apt and very, very flattering comparison.
Yeah, fully agree. And I think that Tali is an interesting choice for winner because it opens up a very interesting character-focused title match in the future for her as number one contender against Erica Reed.
Yeah.
Two women who really do put character at the forefront of what they do.
Which I guess will probably be the next time they're in Ballarat.
Which will be for Gold Rush.
Yes.
I can't remember the date off the top of my head, but we'll... Yeah.
It's also 1 o'clock in the morning, so give us a break.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So after this one, Lisa Marie came in to celebrate with the winner of the match, Tali, but Lizzie Evo came out to complain in her strong Liverpudlian accent that she was the number one contender right now. She was getting an OPW title match, and so the spotlight shouldn't be taken away from her. The former Victoria was happy to deliver a widow's peak before announcing that that title match was coming up straight away. And in that match, Erica Reed was able to put Lizzie Evo away to retain the OPW Women's Championship. Jeff, what did you think of that title match?
Oh, look, I enjoyed it. Lizzie Evo did some great work, some really nice character work, and clearly knows how to do good heel work. Very reminiscent, if you like, in some ways, of and partly because of the accent, I'm sure, but reminiscent a little bit of Zach Gibson, who is a fantastic mic worker. And I really liked Lizzie coming out and sort of going, I've come all the way from Liverpool and you are, you know, and just really shitting on the audience. And the audience went with the ride, which was nice to see. And, you know, she's like, don't boo me. And so, of course, the boos got louder. Really, really nice work from Lizzie Evo. And I quite enjoyed the match. It was brief, but good.
Yeah, I think Erica Reed is able to get over really quickly with basically any audience in Australia.
Yeah.
The fact that she came out, and again, I don't know how many of this audience had seen Erica's work before, but they were on board immediately. And that's a credit to both Erica and Lizzie for having the crowd so quickly behind the champ. And despite Lizzie taking the widow's peak, was able to sell that and then still believably be in control for the middle section of the match to gain heat. Todd, what did you think of it?
Yeah, I think like the match was a good match because like Erica bursts, like she's bursting with character. She's got like that character down and she does it really, really well. And Lizzie also is just does something that a lot of the crowd, like a lot of the people on this card even don't really do, and that was work the crowd. Not a lot of people in independent wrestling work the crowd very often. So it was really good to see that. But it was just like the only problem, like literally the only problem I have with this match is that psychologically it doesn't really make sense that like Lisa Marie Veyron like attacked Lizzie essentially, like hit her with a finish and then put the champion in straight with her, like a babyface champion going at his heel who's already down and had something. That was my only... And I know it's me being like overly nitpicky and probably someone rolling their eyes, but it's like, it just like psychologically, the bad guy is starting from a point of weakness, which is usually the other way around. Should
yeah,
be.
You want the baby face to be fighting from underneath and yeah, the underdog.
Yeah, ideally, yeah.
Yeah. But I think either way, this match was solid and the ring work matched the characters. And, you know, I think this one delivered.
Yeah.
Following this one, Tennille Dashwood and Jessica Troy had a match which had the addition of some presenters from Triple M, one in the corner of each of these women. Tennille Dashwood, obviously the former Emma from WWE. Jessica Troy, a standout from PWA. Jessica Troy did a really good job of pivoting to work heel as soon as she saw the crowd in support of Tennille here. I don't know if that was originally the plan, but definitely good to see Jessica Troy be a heel where we most often see her as a face in PWA, and she definitely has the chops as a heel. I wish that this one didn't have the extra stuff going on at ringside because I think that these are two awesome Australian women who could have worked really, really well together. And the story they told was really clever. It really had Troy focusing on the arm of Dashwood and Tennille trying to move through that to take Jess Troy down. Todd, what did you think of it?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, because that was more of a, like, it was the two local Triple M presenters, I think, because I guess they're not the morning people in Melbourne, are they?
Why are you looking at me? I don't live in Ballarat.
I don't
listen to much commercial radio, obviously, because I can, you know, I work from home, so I can sit and listen to whatever I want off my Spotify.
Tism wouldn't be too happy with you there, Jeff.
Who?
Tism?
Yeah.
Well, they're on Triple M. Go on.
They put his on the radio. I think they are the local Ballarat people. Obviously, it behooves Ballarat, and it behooves the shows to get Ballarat people in to get that, the local flavour. So, yeah, I couldn't answer that. But anyway, so please continue.
Yeah, no, I thought, like, it was a decent match. I guess from where they were on the card, it wasn't supposed to be a, like, five-star Tokyo Dome match. So they got what they did what they had to do in that match to get what they needed to get out of the crowd, if that means, like, you know what I mean? It wasn't like, it's Jessica Troy, so it's always going to be good. And that's pretty much what it was. It wasn't really anything to write home about, but it was a good match.
Yeah, Jessica Troy at her very worst is one of the best workers in Australia, so let's not kid ourselves. So, you know, seeing Jess work is always a pleasure from my perspective. And it was nice because last time I saw Tennille, as I indicated to you both, she wasn't the best. She had an outbreak of a skin condition that hopefully she never gets again. So it was good to see her work a little bit harder. And that's not a knock on Tennille at all. She's a great worker when she's able to be. And you know, I hope that skin condition is now completely abated for her. And I really enjoyed this. I had a lot of fun, and it was a good match to lean into a break and make sure that people came back.
Absolutely. A great close to the first half, I think. And then after intermission, Steph DeLander had the unfortunate job of letting the crowd know that Flamer, the AAA Reina de Reinas champion, did not make the show, unfortunately. So rather than a triple threat match for that AAA title, this was a singles match between Steph DeLander and Jody Threat from TNA. And SDL did a really solid job of managing to get that information across and turn heel before the match started. Obviously, her being an Aussie export had the crowd behind her before the match started, but she did manage to get the crowd onto the side of Jody Threat before the bell rang. Jeff, what did you think of this matchup?
Please remember that I actually came in quite late for this match. I got delayed, making conversation with a few people before the match started. So I would rather not comment on the match because I didn't see the first two-thirds of it.
Fair enough.
I don't think it's fair for me to do so.
Yep. Todd?
Yeah, Steph, of course, is good on the mic. She's been good for a while on the mic. So that really set the table for them, the crowd, to get behind whoever was going to come out to work her. And even though Jody Threat's not really known by the wider public, they were behind her when she came out straight away, and then the character sort of thing. So it worked for what they had to do for it. The only problem I have with it, and I say problem, it's not really a problem. It's again me with my wrestling mind.
It's a nitpick.
Yeah, it's a nitpick, of course. Is like Jody Threat's finisher is the F5, where in the main event, that's Delta's finish. So sort of like if it was my booking show, I'd be like, please don't use the main event person's finishing move, even though you're finishing someone with it.
Yep.
So that's like, I know it's a little thing, but it's just one of those things that I really focus on.
Definitely like a note to pick out, right? I really enjoyed this match. I like Jody Threat's style. She's very explosive. Yes. And I think that worked well against the powerhouse of SDL. It's a good matchup to have where you've got a heel who is able to physically dominate a lot of the competition and then have a face that can explode out with offense at a moment's notice, which is exactly what this matchup was. Obviously, it would have been nice to see the addition of a luchadora in here as well. So you have that explosive offense, you have the high flying, and you have the powerhouse to base it all around. But even without that, I thought this was really solid. It didn't, I think, reach the heights of some of the better matches in the first half. And like we'll speak about the main event, obviously didn't reach the heights that that match got to. But I think to bring the crowd back in off the break, this was a great choice. And I think mostly this card was sequenced extremely well. Mm. The way the matches flowed into each other really kept the energy of the crowd at a good level. After this, we saw Bull Nakano arrive. So I marked out plenty for that. Took her a minute to get to the ring, but that's okay. We had a moment of music playing without Bull appearing. But Bull Nakano eventually did appear, waving a big Japanese flag, and was able to show off the OPW women's tag team titles, the first women's tag team titles in Australia. So an exciting moment there. And this matchup had PPK up against the Backslide Girls to become the inaugural champs, with it at the end, Bull Nakano presenting the titles to the Backslide Girls. I'll throw this one to Todd. What did you think of this match?
I was just like, I literally was just thinking about this when you were doing the intro, right? Could you imagine 5 or 10 years ago, if a worker had come out with the flag of another country, they would have been booed like incessantly straight away. Whereas that didn't even happen. Wasn't even a slight hint of booing.
No,
like Bull Nakano when she came out. So that was pretty cool, I thought. The match was average. It wasn't the best. Like, I don't mean to throw, it wasn't really the best match. It was okay, but I really enjoyed the booking of the finish. The whole it was like the heels on the outside beating up on the baby face, and then of course Kingsley hits the backslide on, I can't remember which one it was.
Frankie.
Hits the backside on Frankie. So, of course, then when Thing tried to get in, the babyface stopped her. And so it was a nice little switch on a switch. It was that I really did enjoy. The rest of the match was okay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway from this match is that both Shay and Frankie B have shown immense improvement over the time that I've seen them in the ring. I think Frankie B especially, I would have not rated very highly at all not long ago. I still think Frankie B's got a way to go in ring, but the difference is night and day, and that's definitely something worth appreciating. I also think that the other members of the teams, Kingsley and Nikki Van Blair, are character-wise really excellent. Kingsley, just the little touches of not being sure to give the microphone to, who to give the microphone to after singing her way to the ring and deciding to sing that as well.
Mm.
That's the kind of thing that keeps someone relevant and worth having around. And Nikki is very watchable in ring. I think, you know, going for the Samoan drop with the big ee-hoo, you know, those are the kind of moments that had me engaged in the match, even when during other points I was not as engaged.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that character work is also something to be commended, even if I don't think this was the greatest tag match I've ever seen. But I also think that it's important to see that, you know, these are a few of the women-only tag teams we've got around the country.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't think of many other established tag teams with two women in them.
Mm.
So I can't really think of a better match to put together here, unfortunately. But
I mean, the only one I would have done is, like we've talked about on previous shows, is you put Jess and Charlie together.
Yeah.
And that would have been, like, for me, that would have been the ideal thing to do, because if anyone knows Charlie, they know how much she loves Bull Nakano.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, no, he said the thing.
The thing.
Oh, yeah, he did.
I threw them both out this time.
They were both in.
Yeah. So, like, that would have been really nice. But, yeah, it is what it is. Like, you were right. Like Nikki and Frankie really worked the crowd. That was good. That part was really good. It was just, yeah.
I think I would have liked to have seen something before the break build into the match, because then the crowd would have had a stake in the match more than just, oh, here's this match with four people.
Well, the stake was the titles.
Yeah. So there was that. But had they done a little skit before the break where the heels beat down the faces and kind of jeered with the crowd and sort of, you know, the girls on the way out and, you know, done the whole get out of my face sort of thing. I just think that would have brought the crowd in a bit quicker. I think there were two things. I think that could have helped. But also the crowd were just anticipating the main event, which, you know, they were kind of saving themselves before that main event, which, you know, it was worth saving yourself for.
Oh, yeah, rightfully so. The main event, the TNA Knockouts Championship, was on the line with Jordan Grace defending against Delta. And I'm going to go in and say, I think this was an absolute rip snorter. These two were really well matched against each other, both powerhouses, both people who can really take a licking and keep on ticking. And they showed that, just absolutely going hell for leather at each other. And, you know, it's really cool to see someone like Delta be able to take a clothesline from Jordan Grace and not go down. That's the kind of thing that you don't get to see all that often. And having these two match up against each other, it could have just been a hoss fight, but it wasn't. It was a well put together back and forth match with both of the wrestlers involved having game plans they were trying to execute, you know, both looking for interesting finishing sequences, and an absolutely devastating finish from Jordan Grace to get the win before a show of respect after the match, shaking Delta's hand before raising the title. This was absolutely fantastic. I loved this match, Todd.
Yeah, well, you know I was talking when there's like a hoss fight, it's like big meaty men bumping meat. This was like meaty women bumping meat. It was good. It was like, and it's surprising to me because I don't realize sometimes how big Delta is. And then you see her in the ring with Jordan and you're like, wow, she's the same sort of like width, not height, but like, because Jordan's obviously not a very tall girl, but just like width, like Delta was a fucking stacked. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm sorry for swearing, but because we haven't done it this episode, but like Delta is stacked. And that match felt like a main event. They both have a presence and an aura about it, and it felt like a main event. It was like, because I was sitting next to Welshy and Nick Galea, and we said at the time, like, those two people look like two performers who are already on TV. I know Jordan is, but like Delta did not look out of place at all in that match. That was a really, really, that was possibly the only match they could have put on as the main event. Because that was, it was head and shoulders above the rest of the card.
But that match felt like a main event anywhere in the world. Like,
yeah.
That was an absolute. Yeah.
Like you could have seen, there was a TNA Knockout Championship match. You could have seen that on an episode of Impact.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or even a pay-per-view, and it wouldn't have felt out of place.
No, not at all. Jeff?
Oh, yeah, great match. I think that the fact that they made it face versus face, because no one's going to boo Jordan in this country and no one's going to boo Delta in this country, especially not at the moment. It just works. They clicked really, really well together. The spots they put together were very, very good. Even some of the stuff outside the ring was lovely. I just thought it was a great match. And, you know, it's the kind of match where I'd want to watch it again tomorrow night. But we've got some excellent things coming tomorrow night, so, you know.
We sure do. Look, I'm really glad that Delta consistently justifies all the praise we give her and the fact that we tell everyone to go rush out and see her when they get the chance, because every time she makes it worth it. But you're absolutely right, Jeff. There's plenty on tomorrow. Of course, StarCast going to be back at the mining exchange at Ballarat. We will be there, hopefully getting some interviews with some international stars. We've got our camera equipment ready to go. As well as that, there's going to be the OPW Australian Super Show, which has a ton of matches that we can't wait to cover. Things like Kushida going up against Robbie Eagles. And we've just found out that, unfortunately, with a couple of people that couldn't make the show, it's resulted in a new match being put together with Orlando Jordan taking on Tommy Knight. So that should be absolutely excellent.
No, yeah,
it's Shelton Benjamin. Shelton Benjamin. Shelton Benjamin.
It's late. I'm not going to crack at him. It's late.
It is so late. I am so ready for bed because not only is it late, we have a huge day tomorrow.
And what else is on tomorrow, Lachlan? I forgot, at 5 o'clock at the Selkirk Stadium. What might be happening?
Oh, is that WrestleBrainia?
Yes, it is. WrestleBrainia will be live in Ballarat tomorrow at 5 o'clock at the Selkirk Stadium with a couple of extra special guests from StarCast. You don't want to miss that. And you don't want to miss tomorrow.
Excellent. Yeah, we got like because I know that we're going to have to be up early.
Oh yeah,
because we want to get there for the Eric Bischoff thing. Because especially after what's happened this week on AEW TV, you know you want to sit down and listen to what Eric's going to say about all of that. You got like Eric, you got Gangrel. I don't know what they're going to do for the whole StarCast journey panel because the guy that created StarCast isn't here.
Yeah,
I guess that's what that was going to be about, really. It was going to be him telling the story about StarCast.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there with no Conrad Thompson. But look, it's been a very entertaining StarCast so far. And the TNA and the Rumble panel is going to be on as well. So Mickie James and Jordan Grace getting a chance to share that panel spotlight, answer some fan questions. Should be an absolute blast.
But the actual, like, because it's at the moment, like, there's like three venues for this StarCast. It's like the mining?
The Mining Exchange is where kind of the signatures are happening.
The Civic Hall is where all the panels are happening. Yeah. And then Selkirk Stadium is where WrestleBrainia and also the actual wrestling shows are happening. And then just the stuff of the mining company is really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we've been talking about it for weeks. What did I want to do?
Hold the big gold belt.
Yeah. And like today, I got to hold the big gold belt. I got to hold the big gold belt, get a photo with it, got a photo with the US Championship. And not only that, is that like one of the guys that was there was the guys that make the belts. And so, like, because I expressed my love for that title and how much that stuff, he went into detail about how stuff was made, and it was really fun. Like, because you were with me too, Lachlan, when we were doing it, and it was really fascinating. He was talking about, like, this is like one whole piece, and we just did this, and that's how it's happened. And this is different from the others when they made the Hulk Hogan one, and it was just a flat piece because you know it wasn't the same because this was all in filigree and all that sort of. It was like, for someone who's a nerd about that sort of stuff, it was amazing for me to watch and just to see that belt close up. It's not like the belts everyone else sees, like you can buy the WWE version of it. It looks nothing like that. It is night and day compared to that other belt.
Oh, absolutely. So look, if you are in Victoria at the moment, really make sure you get to Ballarat ASAP. There's going to be still the Saturday and the Sunday to come for StarCast Australia. Obviously, we've mentioned WrestleBrainia is going to be on before Bret Hart presents Australian Stampede, which is tomorrow night and should be brilliant. While we're talking, Jeff, just quickly, is there other WrestleBrainia stuff to keep an eye on?
Yeah, this weekend, 5:30 at the Catfish Hotel on Sunday. We've got The Ambush versus Dave from BDE and a special guest. And then on the 21st, the post-Renegades Bash at 7:30 at the Catfish. It's a little bit later. And we've got some special guests to announce for that very soon.
It is a stacked week. It has been a stacked night. I am ready for bed. You boys ready for bed?
Can I sleep on my own, please?
No.
Damn it.
All right, we are heading off, but make sure you keep it tuned to Wrestle Radio Australia while we cover more from StarCast Australia. Until next time, on behalf of Jeff Setti, who is already snoring, and Todd Eastman, I've been Lachlan Albert. Till next time. Thanks, Jeff. Have a good one.
Here I was, blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along. Make chicken salad.